Jodie Gardner and Reggie Hart Jr. go to visit 17-year-old Chris Harrison on a Wednesday night. Soon, the narrow hallway outside Harrison's family apartment in Normal fills with gunfire, just feet away from families with kids up late watching cartoons. Neighbors call 911.
MatCom 911, what is the address of your emergency?
1444 East College Avenue.
Okay, what's going on there?
It's directly above me. There's a whole lot of commotion and running, and there was a long series of bangs, possible gunshots.
Harrison chases his visitors into a nearby stairwell, where authorities say he fired more than 20 rounds into their bodies from an AR-15. When it was over, Gardner and Hart were dead. Harrison allegedly points police to a trash bag in an apartment containing the AR-15, a handgun, and a shotgun. They also find 190 grams of pot, scales, and packaging materials. Here's Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner the day after it happened.
There was still smoke hanging in the air from this occurring. This was something that occurred very recently before the officers had arrived.
Police haven't disclosed a motive or what brought all three men into that pressure cooker environment the night of April 25th. 6 weeks later and 2 miles away in Bloomington, two other young people were slain by gun violence in an apparently unrelated incident. Three more were shot and killed a week ago on Riley Drive in Bloomington. Seven fatal shootings in less than 2 months.
A joint investigation by the Pantograph and GLT reveals the three men involved in April's shooting at Lancaster Heights each passed through a community safety net intended to stop at-risk youth from reaching the point of no return. But when youth are able to access stolen semi-automatic rifles, the consequences turn deadly that much quicker.
Edith, I want to pause the story here and talk a little bit about what drew us into it in the first place. For me, it was pretty simple. What was a 17-year-old doing with an AR-15, as police alleged? How did that happen? What about you?
Well, those questions intrigued me as well. I also think there's too little attention paid to what leads to this unprecedented violence. There's often a pattern of what's missing from people's lives, despite the best efforts of community organizations and the juvenile justice system.
First, though, it was important for us to learn a little bit more about the three young men tied up in this shooting at Lancaster Heights on April 25th. Chris Harrison had little contact with the law before his arrest on homicide charges. His mother, Nora, attended college, completed a master's degree. In her comments to juvenile court services when Harrison was sentenced for possession of alcohol by a minor, she described her son as goofy, funny, caring, and protective of his family. As part of the alcohol violation, Harrison participated in Normal Police's youth intervention program for at-risk kids in 2015. Court records show Harrison was diagnosed with ADHD in junior high and struggled at Normal Community High School. His mother told juvenile court services the school was geared, quote, toward two-parent families. He enrolled in Youth Build, an alternative school for kids who can't finish high school.
And Jodie Gardner's journey to that apartment complex wasn't any easier. Gardner's life began when he was pulled from a dumpster shortly after birth by Chicago police and handed over to his great-grandmother, who raised him for the first 12 years or so of his life. His on-again, off-again relationship with his mother brought him to Bloomington Normal in 2010. When he attended school consistently and was not using drugs, records show he was an honor roll student. But records also show he was suspended repeatedly from NCHS for smoking pot and stealing. In 2014, he was held at a juvenile detention center after being accused of stealing a bike.
There's this quote from the court records that we thought was really telling. Jodie Gardner was 16 at the time. He's talking to court services staff.
Yes, that's when he says, quote, "I've had time to think in here and nothing has distracted me. And I've decided that I don't want to be locked up, so I better start doing good," unquote.
Court documents and interviews with family and friends show Gardner wasn't content where he was. Like Harrison, Gardner enrolled in Youth Build and became its poster child. He was an aspiring rapper, and before he died at age 20, he enrolled at Heartland Community College with hopes of becoming a welder. One of Gardner's childhood friends was Reggie Hart Jr., who was 20 when he died. I spoke to Gardner's girlfriend, who was pregnant with his child. She says that Jodie and Reggie were like glue, inseparable.
Juvenile court records show Hart displayed behavioral problems starting as a toddler at age 3. By first grade, he was diagnosed with ADHD but resisted medication. According to the court records, as a 9-year-old, he tried to choke his mother with a bungee cord and was diagnosed with oppositional defiant disorder. Records show Hart was moved to the regional alternative school in seventh grade because of ongoing disciplinary issues.
His court file shows his parents knew him differently, as someone who loved sports and played football, who was playful, outgoing, and knew the difference between right and wrong. Hart and Gardner's friendship got them into trouble before. Both were caught up in a theft case in 2012, and Hart's mother asked the court to keep the two boys away from each other using a so-called no-contact order. It's normally used to separate victims from perpetrators. All three were protected by, but escaped from, an array of community programs designed to help them. Here's Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner again.
And the community in general has a whole host of different options that are available to youth. And I think this community has a lot of resources that focus on options for youth. Now, could we have more? We certainly could. At some point, it's a choice for youth that they have to make, and they have to want to have that help.
Their lives brought them together at Lancaster Heights. Police say the apartment complex is no hotbed of criminal activity. It's popular with families, with children, walking distance from a Target, Kroger, and several churches. Police reports show the building at 1444 East College Avenue, where Gardner and Hart died, has no recent history of serious crime. Authorities say the dispute was possibly drug-related, and Harrison faces drug charges on top of the murder counts. Edith, you spoke with Harrison's public defender, Carla Barnes. What did she have to say?
Carla declined to comment on the specifics of the pending case, including whether Harrison will claim self-defense. Authorities say Harrison fired the AR-15, but how he allegedly acquired the handgun and shotgun isn't clear. Carla said something very telling, though. She said, quote, "We've just started reviewing the materials from the state. We ask people to be patient. There may be more to the story."
When I spoke to Jody Gardner's girlfriend, she said Gardner and Hart were feuding with Harrison in the week leading up to their deaths. She says she had a bad feeling something bad was going to happen to him. The day after the shooting, Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner called it a senseless act.
The thing that frustrates me is the finality of actions taken by individuals for, when you dig right down to it, something that really didn't amount to that. Individuals that find a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
An AR-15 is a very permanent solution, especially in the hands of a 17-year-old. Police say there's a noticeable shift in gun culture among local youths, from hybrid gangs passing around a shared gun, to each kid wanting his own gun, to now each kid wanting multiple guns. This year alone, Bloomington police has seen five examples of three different gangs posting on social media with long guns. Those are weapons that are not handguns or shotguns.
We went and visited Bloomington police crime analyst Jack McQueen. He says youths have become hyper-infatuated with weapons.
We now know they possess them, and obviously they're not old enough to have them, and it's not common for them to have them in their possession at all. So something's changing again for us as we watch these groups. And we don't want to comment on their case, but, you know, it fits in with that.
Right.
Where you've got a kid or a young adult that's infatuated with the use and possession of handguns and now has moved on to long guns.
McLean County State's Attorney Jason Chambers has seen a similar trend. Here's Chambers last fall on GLT's Sound Ideas.
The age of the people that we see. So for me, the concern that I have is not an increase in amount. It's the lowering in the age of people I see with the guns committing crimes. I mean, when you're talking about, sometimes we've got 15, 16-year-olds running around with stolen handguns. That's a problem.
Jack McQueen says that social media has made it easier for kids to show off their gun or escalate disputes. He says a local judge even recently ordered a youth to refrain from posting certain types of content on social media. Edith, you talked to a guy named Art Feldman. He's a public defender who represents juveniles in criminal cases. What did he say about these types of orders and similar ones that keep two at-risk friends apart?
Feldman said it's an almost impossible task. Some of these youths are as close as family, if not closer, in Feldman's view. They can't be watched every minute, and then there's a challenge of social media.
Harrison is charged with illegally possessing three stolen guns, including the AR-15. Police say that's common. Most guns and crimes are stolen. But few stolen guns are ever recovered. Jack McQueen says in Bloomington, only 10-15% of reported stolen or lost guns are ever recovered. The same is true in Normal. McQueen says about one-third of stolen guns are taken from homes, another third from vehicles. Expensive long guns, like AR-15s, are especially attractive. AR-15-style weapons have been used in most all of the deadliest shootings this decade. We sent a Freedom of Information Act request off to Bloomington Police, Normal Police, and the McLean County Sheriff's Department. We were looking for any police reports of someone reporting a gun, stolen, or lost, something they're legally obligated to do when that happens. We got back some really interesting reports. My personal favorite was last fall when a Carlock resident told sheriff's deputies his AR-15 and a companion grenade launcher went missing from an unlocked gun case in an unlocked home. That gun and launcher, valued at about $2,400, remain missing.
In another example that stood out to me, Bloomington police investigated a stolen vehicle that included the theft of 4 guns. The car was found in Chicago, but the guns are still missing. At some point, it's more than possible that those weapons will be used in crimes.
Since we began reporting this story, there have been 2 other deadly shooting incidents in Bloomington Normal. The one on June 10th in East Bloomington, the other on Riley Drive just last week. Based on what police have told us, there's a high probability those people were killed with stolen guns. The 2 people killed on June 10th were 20-year-old Tanisha Brown and 18-year-old Stephen Alexander. Both lived in Bloomington. Their families are questioning why there's such easy access to guns. Brown's mother, Angel Hoskins, told my GLT colleague Charlie Schlenker, "Where are they getting all these guns from? It's baffling me." Gaynette Hoskins is Brown's aunt. Hoskins says the shooting reveals a lack of neighborhood togetherness.
Everybody right now is so focused on themselves. It's not a community anymore. It's an individual, and we are not going to make it as a community if everybody is looking at, oh, that's their problem.
Harrison is due back in court August 6th. He turned 18 on June 1st and was moved from the juvenile detention center to the McLean County Jail.